All right, good morning, church. It's great to see you all here this morning. It's good to be back, actually. So, I think it was July 3rd was the last time I spoke to the church prior to the sabbatical. And it is good to be back kind of in the regular routines. And I want to begin this morning just by saying thank you to the elders for granting me that opportunity to take some sabbatical this summer. And along with that, the guys that filled in for the preaching did a really great job. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
They did. And we're biblical, and we're engaging, and we're prompting us to love and good deeds, as the Word of God proclaimed is supposed to do. So thank you very much for those of you that filled in. Thank you for others who picked up and pieces, little things that I do here and there that aren't necessarily in the public realm, especially Howard. I know he did a lot of heavy lifting for things that I normally would do. And same thing with Julie. And so I appreciate their assistance in making the sabbatical happen. It was a great time of rest and reflection. Got to go to Myanmar and do some short-term missions there, which was a great experience to see what God is doing in other parts of the world in an amazing way. And also, I had some opportunity to write. And remember way back when I started that, I said, you guys got to keep me accountable. I was going to write something over the break. Anybody remember that?
Yes.
Everybody awake out there? Okay. All right. You remember that? Okay. And so, because I said that to you, that was also in the back of my mind saying, okay, I got to make sure I do something, right? But also because I wanted to, and that's it's an opportunity to spend some time reflecting and writing things down. And so this summer, I had several things to choose from, and I thought, what would be beneficial to the kingdom, but something that's doable in a short amount of time? And so my family and I worked on this thing that is called, let's go back now. It's called Rise. There we go. And it's a family worship guide. And it provides a resource for families to worship God in their homes together. It provides daily readings. It provides prompts for prayer. It provides songs, suggestions to sing as the family gathers. Because the home is to be a place where God is worshiped. Not just this place when we gather as the assembled church, but in our homes. It's a place where God is worshipped and where everyone receives instruction in the Christian faith. This is a very long tradition of family worship that has been kind of in disrepair in the last generation or two. But I'm hoping that it can be revived amongst the Kaiser Christians. And it is in a revival stage around the world. Many families are beginning to discover the joy and the blessings of family worship. And it's for people with families. It's for people that are just couples, anybody really in the home that would like to have some regular time of worship and instruction, it's useful for. So, in the back you'll see copies. I made copies available. They're free. One per family if you'd like to take one. And we have, the church made these copies, right? So I didn't pay for them out of my pocket, but the church has made these copies available, and I hope you'll find them valuable. If you want to take an extra one and pass it along to somebody that you think would benefit from it as well, that would be acceptable as well. So take a look at that resource, and so now you know I was doing something on my sabbatical rather than spending time in the hammock, right? So, which I did set up the hammock for a couple days, but then when I almost fell out of it, I decided, that's it. I don't know how those sailors slept in those, all those years on those ships, right? Anyway, so there you go. I really hope that the resource will be used and beneficial to your spiritual life. As has already been mentioned, today is the beginning of our church year. We're beginning this time of renewal of our church theme. We have a brand new church theme, Immerse, and I'm going to be talking about that some today in our sermon time, looking at the passage that has the word immerse in it, and what the concept is, and how it's going to affect some of the ministries of our church this whole year. And we've really done a lot to try to tie it to many of the things that we're doing. And so you'll be getting used to this word immerse and this image that Jesse put together for us, which is really great. It really brings out the idea of being immersed. And so this morning we're going to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 15. But let's begin with prayer. Our Father in heaven, you are a great and almighty God. You are the maker of heaven and earth. You have no beginning and you have no end. Your majesty goes beyond our comprehension. We cannot even really grasp your greatness. Our finite minds can only just barely grasp your infinite wisdom, your infinite nature, and your power. We bless your name this morning. We bless you for the great things that you have given us, the blessings that we see around us, the homes we have, the incomes we enjoy, the friends we have, all the good blessings we know come from you, the Father above. We also bless your name, Lord, even in times when our lives are struggling, when we have difficulties come our way, when there are conflicts that we don't understand around us, when we wonder what's going on in the political realm, or we wonder what's going on in the nations, and we just are troubled. We still bless your name, knowing that you rule the nations, that you rule over the entire earth, and that one day you will bring all this to a conclusion and a glorious end in which you will be seen as the great God, and all will bow before the name of your Son Jesus, in whom we are gathered this morning. We bless your name, Lord, and thank you for your word. We thank you that you did not leave us, Lord Jesus, when you left, you did not leave us alone, but you sent your Spirit, the Comforter, who brought about these amazing words in the Scriptures to teach us and inspire us and to correct us and rebuke us. And we pray that this morning, as we look at the Word, that we will be challenged to be like you, and we will be inspired to consider what it means to be immersed. Bless us this morning, Lord. It's in Christ that I pray. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4 is our passage for this morning. In verse 15, Paul writes this letter to the church. Well, he writes it to Timothy, who is in Ephesus, a young minister who's been left there to do some heavy lifting amongst this church, which had some problems and false teachers and maybe some disorder in the way that they did things. We're not 100% sure, but he gives them lots of instruction. In the middle of this, he makes these comments, chapter 4, verses 11 and following. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given you by the prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. This passage contains the phrase that's our theme for the year, immerse yourself in them. And this is kind of a launching point for our theme. It's not the only place, of course, that we're going to spend time this year, but it really provides us with kind of a concept to wrap ourselves around this year. Paul tells Timothy, focus on your speech and your conduct, your love, your purity, public preaching, embrace your gifts, and then practice these themes. Immerse yourself in them. And it's not so much that this year we're looking at a particular doctrine or a particular topic that we're going to dwell in. It's more of that we're thinking about a mode of operation. Anybody ever heard that phrase, the Latin phrase, modus operandi? Have you ever heard that one? It's kind of a fancy word. It means the way of operating, the way that you conduct yourself. How do you go about approaching things? So your mode of operation at work may be to show up 10 minutes late every single day and to get by with just as little as you have to do to get the paycheck, right? I see some nodding over there on the back row, okay? All right. If you do that very long, you might get fired, right? So it's not a good mode of operation. It's more of a mode of operation is the way that you conduct yourself, the way that you carry yourself with regard to things. And Paul says, with regard to these things I've just described, have this kind of a mode of operation. And that is to immerse yourself in them. And it's interesting, the word, you know, when you look it up in the original language, you don't get the typical word for immerse. All you get is the verb to be. Be in these things. And that's why in some of your different translations, you have it rendered in a different way. But it all has the same emphasis. Give yourself wholly to them, the NIV says. Be absorbed in them, the New American Standard Bible says. And the New King James Version, give yourself entirely to them. Because the translators are trying to figure out what to do with that verb to be. What it means to be completely in. And I know some of you are wondering, why in the world does he have a picture of poker up on the screen at church, right? What's going on there? Well, I kept thinking about this idea of, you know, have you seen the movie where there's the guy, maybe it's the old gambler movie from the 70s or whatever, and the guy's sitting there looking at his cards, and he's got this big stack of stuff, and he goes all in. He leaves none of his chips close, and he's all in the game. That is exactly the thing that Paul is talking about. When it comes to your faith, you're all in. That's what it means to be immersed. And so that's going to be the thing that we wrestle with this year, is what does it mean to be all in? And I think fundamentally it just pulls us back to what it means to be disciples of Jesus Christ. Last week, our brother Rex gave us an awesome sermon about the radical teachings of Jesus, of leaving everything behind. And sometimes we look at those passages and we say, oh, that's interesting. We interpret them extremely metaphorically. We interpret them extremely loosely. And we give ourselves a pass on those extreme statements. And Rex reminded us, don't do that so quickly. Take seriously the radical call that Jesus gives. And so this year, we're going to be thinking about this radical call to discipleship, where Jesus says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and following, He said, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The Apostle Paul later on describes this same kind of thing when he says, you know, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ, He lives in me. And the life that I live now, I live to God's glory, to Christ's glory. That's what my life is all about. This side of my immersion in Christ. In other places, Paul says, I count everything that I have about me as loss, as rubbish, as garbage compared with the far surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have sacrificed everything. And then we could look at what Jesus says in Revelation chapter 3 as he's commenting on the nature of faith. He says this, and we're familiar with this concept. But he says in Revelation 3:15, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. I know your works. You are neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth." This is the resurrected Lord speaking to His church, saying, you've lost your first love, you've lost that hotness, and you're lukewarm. Get back to being hot and refined by fire, gold, as he says later on. And we get this, don't we? Nobody likes lukewarm coffee, right? Is anybody? Okay. Nobody pulls up to the Dutch Bros and they say, well, do you want it piping hot or do you want it iced? And you say, well, I just want it tepid. Is that on the menu, Kyle? Tepid? Okay. I don't think so. They'll look at you and go, oh, you must be having a bad day, dude. You know, or whatever the kinds of things they say at Dutch Bros. Which, by the way, I always find it amazing. I think, do I know you? You're talking to me like you know me, like I'm your best friend or something, and I just met you. But anyway, so that's a great business model. But you get the point. Lukewarm, nobody likes that. You want it hot or you want it cold? Christianity is not designed to be served lukewarm. It is not designed to be lived out just a little bit. It is not designed to be lived out in that moderate sense. It is a radical religion. And Jesus made a radical call to discipleship. And if you want any evidence of this nature of Christianity, this mode of operation that we should have in regard to our faith, all you have to do is consider the initiation rite into the Christian faith. And that is, of course, baptism. Next slide, please. There we go. All right. Baptism. Many of you understand and know that the word in the original language for baptism means immerse. Okay? Baptizo. It means to be immersed. When you come to Christ and you make the great confession, you are buried with Christ in baptism. We lose ourselves in Him. There is not one part of us that's not wet after that incident takes place. You are completely immersed, as this young man is here on the top left. And as you see at the bottom left, Eric Astacio this past spring, as his father baptized him into Christ, and he comes up completely wet. And I love that image of his hands like this, like, yes. And for those that witnessed that, he came up and every part of him had been touched by the water. Every part of us is shaped and changed when we go into the water. And it is not by accident that baptism is by immersion, by design, by God's design. Because it communicates to our bodies, it communicates to everyone watching that something radical is taking place. Not something that you, just a little bit of you gets wet, but all of you gets wet. Every part of you is soaked when you come out of the water. That's symbolizing what it means to be a Christian. And there's a major problem with many Christians in this world that they fail to grasp the all-in idea. They fail to get it that Christianity is an all-in religion, and they tack on Christianity to their life as if it's some other just piece, like a hobby, or a profession, or some other thing that they've added to their life. You know, I saw a movie 3 or 4 weeks ago. And it was a good movie. It was one of these kind of spiritual, new, Christian-oriented movies that came out recently. And I got interested in kind of doing a little research on the actress who played the part. And I read up on this person, and this actress, in studying the role that she played, actually decided to go back to church, to go back to her Christian roots that she had grown up with. Which is really exciting because this is a very famous female actress in Hollywood, which we should be praying for her that God does amazing things through her. Okay? But as I was reading this kind of article about her in the Huffington Post, something caught my eye in the way that she described it. And it was something along the lines of, you know, going to church had always been an important part of my life until I went to Hollywood, and then things kind of went like that, and now I'm getting that part of my life back. It was kind of the language she was using. And as I said, I really appreciate what has happened in her life, and I'm praying for good things to come from that. But I think even some of the language that she was using to describe faith, it revealed a problem that many Christians have. Christianity is just a part of their life. Listen, that is not the biblical definition of being a disciple. The biblical definition is like what Paul says here in Colossians 3. Notice this. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above and not things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then this is the phrase I want you to remember. When Christ, who is your life, He appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Now that is some deep waters. He's not a part of your life. He is your life. You can't tack Him on like you would just tack on a hobby. I played golf for a few years and then I put that aside and then I came back to it later on. And that's not Christianity. Or for a period of my life I was an engineer. Then I became an accountant. That's a part of my life. That's not Christianity. I got into this video game for a while and then I put it aside. That's not Christianity. That's not the way you should view it. It is an all-consuming, radical commitment to the Lord of glory. And to live completely in Him and let Him take over your life 100% to where you leave everything behind and you come and you follow Him. This is the nature of Christianity. And this is what it means to be immersed. And so this year we're going to be thinking about this. What does that mean? Some of you are thinking, well, Darren, does that mean I quit my job? No. Hang on. Does that mean I can't play golf? No, that's not what I said. What I'm saying is, you've got to have a mode of operation that says, this is my life. Christ is my life. And we'll be exploring that this year. So two basic kind of ways we'll be looking at this. One is, what does it mean to be immersed in Christ Himself? What does it mean to have that kind of deep relationship with the Lord of glory, the resurrected Christ who's at the right hand of the Father, reigning in glory and will return one day to bring us back unto Himself? What does it mean to be in Him? What are the blessings that come by being in Him? What's the power that comes by being in Christ? So we'll be exploring that. But then also, we'll be specifically thinking, what does it mean to be immersed in Christ's body? And that is the church. What does it mean to be immersed in the church that belongs to Jesus? That He cares so much that He purchased with His blood, that He died upon the cross to ransom us and create a community. What does it mean to be immersed in that community? There are many Christians, again, they treat their church life like something like they're standing around a pool that they're not sure they really want to jump in or not. They kind of put their toe in a little bit to check it out, maybe a little bit. Listen, that's not the way God designed church life to be. It's all in. That's why I like the immersed, you know, the splash. You're in your church life. And we'll be exploring, what does that look like? How do we live out life in a community when it's all in? How do we really love each other and enjoy each other and forgive one another and bear one another's burdens? How do we weep with one another when people are weeping and rejoice with them when they rejoice? How do we actually have that kind of a deep relationship? These are the things we'll be looking at this year. And you know, I just as an aside, want to say, you know, being away from the church this summer was weird. And I told the elders, I said, you know, I'm not going to be one of those guys that goes on sabbatical and then you see me 3 months later. Because I can't do that. If I did that, that would mean that I view you just as my job. That I can just kind of be away from you. And I want you to know, I do not view you as my job. I guess in some ways it is, but it isn't. That is not my mode of operation with regard to my calling to ministry. And you guys are my family. You are my church, and I love you, pray for you, long for your spiritual health. I mourn when people decide they're going to leave us and go somewhere else. That hurts. It's like being something's being pulled away. When someone dies, like our dear sister Lois, it hurts because we're family. Because that's what it means to be part of a community. That's what it means to be part of a fellowship. Not that you're just occupying common space for an hour a week. That is not being immersed in the body of Christ. God's will is something way, way, way deeper than that. And so many people fail to get it. This year, we want to get it. We want to get it. How are we going to do it? Well, we're going to look at the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians is one of the richest books in the New Testament. It is all about these two themes, Christ and His church. It's deep waters, and we're going to go slowly through the book of Ephesians. If I could show you the sermon outlines right now, the last sermon is March 29th on the book of Ephesians. Some of you are thinking, wait a minute, March 29th, that's after Christmas. That's a long time. Yes, it is. All right. Because we're going to slow down and we're going to go through this book. We're going to immerse ourselves, okay, in Ephesians. Now, we are going to take a break here and there to do some things in between, but that's generally where we're going. We're going to be really into the book of Ephesians this year. So I would encourage you to start reading, and we've got some reading schedules that are going to be out that have you reading through the book of Ephesians. We have life group discussions every week. When you're in a life group, you're going to be dialoguing about things related to the book of Ephesians, and it's dual emphasis on Christ and His body. We have classes that are focused around Ephesus. 1 Timothy class on Wednesday nights. I mean, Timothy is in Ephesus. Ephesus is the great church in Asia that would have so much influence in the years to come. And so we're going to dwell in Ephesus this year. We have a class on prayer that's praying through prayers of the New Testament. A couple of them at least are from Ephesians. So you can see the point is we're really going to be developing this theme and working through the book of Ephesians. And I also pray that in homes, those homes will become a sacred space where God is worshipped and His Word is taught. Whatever phase of life you're in, and whether you've ever done family worship before, this is an opportunity to try that and see if you can't immerse yourself in the Word at home. So brothers and sisters, we have an exciting year ahead of us. We have some things coming up that I think will produce spiritual growth in us and will help us be nearer to one another. And so I would encourage you this morning to embrace this theme, okay? It might challenge you. In fact, I know it's going to challenge you. It's going to challenge all of us, right? Because if we were honest, many of us might be like that actress. We might view Christianity as just a part of our life rather than our life, Christ being our life. And so we're going to be challenging that and looking at what it means to be fully in, all in. Well, I feel like I want to conclude with an invitation. It is hard and almost impossible to be talking about being immersed in Christ and being completely dedicated to Him without at least asking the question, are you somebody who's been on the edge for a while? Maybe standing on the edge of the pool, maybe pacing back and forth along the edge, wanting to jump in. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. You know that. You know that He is the way to salvation. You know that the Bible is true and that God has appointed Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. But for some reason, you just haven't jumped in. I want to invite you to jump in. To make the great confession that Peter made. That you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the one who takes away the sins of the world and give your life to Christ. When you do this, the great blessings that come are amazing. First of all, you receive the forgiveness of sins. Standing on the edge of the pool, knowing all the knowledge about God, and maybe even being in the midst of the church, hearing this stuff all the time, but still on the edge of the pool, not jumping in, guess what? You don't have all those blessings yet. If you're not in Christ, you don't have the blessing of the forgiveness of sins. Forgiveness of sins is given for those who are in Christ and buried with Him in baptism. And so you need that. We all need that. We also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The very thing that gives us power to live the Christian life. That gives us power to overcome the difficulties that we experience. The power to actually fight and say no to sin. The gift of the Holy Spirit is yours. And finally, you have the experience of being in truly the community that belongs to Jesus Christ. Going to a church building and even sitting through an assembly like this does not necessarily make you part of the body of Christ. You've got to jump in. You've got to make the great confession and say yes to Jesus Christ and make a personal decision. Your mom and dad can't make this decision for you. Your uncle, who is a preacher, that's great. He cannot make this decision for you. Your parents, who've gone on, they can't make that decision for you, obviously. No one can make that decision for you. You must make the decision to take on Jesus Christ as Lord. And so I want to invite anyone here today who's in that position to make this the day that you say yes and that you become a disciple of Jesus Christ. If that is your response, come forward during the song and we'll make arrangements and baptize you into Christ, and you will arise forgiven, filled with the Holy Spirit, and a member of the body of Christ. Let's stand and let's sing.